broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for, it's already the 29th. Wow. This is hour two of two, ladies and gentlemen, November 29th in the year of our Lord, 2021. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips always on your radio. And we want to talk about Ron Paul today quite a bit. He's doing a great job standing up against Anthony Fauci. The battle's on between the two. There's all kinds of interesting headlines that relate to this, ladies and gentlemen. The headline that I have that relates to this is kind of two different sound bites all in one. And it's Senator Rand Paul literally quizzing Anthony Fauci down before Congress. And the first one says, Senator Rand Paul, you're trying to cover your A. That's in the sound bite. The second one we'll talk about. But the first one, Paul and Fauci clash again in heated exchange. All this is going on the Senate floor, and the media is not reporting it to you at all. Here's Rand Paul's interaction with Anthony Fauci.
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Let's
okay, you get
NIH,
one person.
Let's read from the NIH definition of gain of function. This is your definition that you guys wrote. Dr. Fauci, as you are aware, it is a crime to lie to Congress. Section 1001 of the U.S. Criminal Code creates a felony and a five-year penalty for lying to Congress. On your last trip to our committee on May 11th, you stated that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And yet, gain-of-function research was done entirely in the Wuhan Institute by Dr. Xi and was funded by the NIH. I'd like to ask unanimous consent to insert into the record the Wuhan virology paper entitled Discovery of a Rich Gene Pool of Bat SARS-Related Coronaviruses. Please deliver a copy of the journal article to Dr. Fauci. In this paper, Dr. Xi credits the NIH and lists the actual number of the grant that she was given by the NIH. In this paper, she took two bat coronavirus genes, spike genes, and combined them with a SARS-related backbone to create new viruses that are not found in nature. These lab-created viruses were then shown to replicate in humans. These experiments combine genetic information from different coronaviruses that infect animals, but not humans, to create novel artificial viruses able to infect human cells. Viruses that in nature only infect animals were manipulated in the Wuhan lab to gain the function of infecting humans. This research fits the definition of the research that the NIH said was subject to the pause in 2014 to 2017, a pause in funding on gain of function. But the NIH failed to recognize this, defines it away, and it never came under any scrutiny. Dr. Richard E. Bright, a molecular biologist from Rutgers, described this research in Wuhan as, the Wuhan lab used NIH funding to construct novel chimeric SARS-related coronaviruses able to infect human cells and laboratory animals. This is high-risk research that creates new potential pandemic pathogens that exist only in the lab, not in nature. This research matches, these are Dr. Ebright's words, this research matches, indeed epitomizes, the definition of gain-of-function research done entirely in Wuhan, for which there was supposed to be a federal pause. Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Your microphone.
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function. Let me finish.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans.
Right.
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Let's read from the NIH definition of gain of function. This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals, and they increased their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
And let's send Dr. Fauci.
I have to, well, now you're getting into something. If the point that you are making is that the grant that was funded as a subaward from EcoHealth to Wuhan created SARS-CoV-2. That's where you are getting. Let me finish.
We don't know.
Well,
we don't
wait
know
a minute.
If it did
I
come
can,
from the lab, but you, all the evidence is pointing that it came from the lab,
you,
and there will be responsibility for those who funded the lab, including yourself.
I totally
This committee
resent,
will allow the witness to respond.
I totally resent the lie that you are now propagating, Senator, because if you look at the viruses that were used in the experiments that were given in the annual reports that were published in the literature, it is molecularly impossible.
No one's saying those viruses caused it.
It is molecularly.
Those viruses caused the pandemic. What we're alleging is that gain of function research was going on in that lab and NIH funded it.
That is not.
You can't get away from it. It meets your definition and you are obfuscating the truth.
I'm not obfuscating the truth. You are the one.
Senator Paul's time has expired, but I will allow the witness to.
Let me just finish. I want everyone to understand that if you look at those viruses, and that's judged by qualified virologists and evolutionary biologists, those viruses are molecularly impossible
no one's
to
saying
result
they are. No
in
one's
SARS-CoV-2.
Saying those viruses caused the pandemic.
Paul,
we're saying they are gain-of-function viruses because they were animal viruses that became more transmissible in human, and you funded it.
And you
admit the truth.
And you implying.
Senator Paul, your time has expired, and I will allow witnesses who come before this committee to respond.
And you are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individual. I totally resent
that.
And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
Senator Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, so the debate goes on between Fauci and Rand Paul, but in my opinion, Fauci on very shaky ground. Rand Paul's merely saying, look, you took viruses out in the wild, you put them in mice that had human cells in it, you were able to create a new virus that's human transmittable, and you created gain-of-function research. And what Fauci says is, if you're saying I'm causing death and that I basically created the coronavirus and released it, you're wrong, and therefore it's not gain-of-function research. Well, the debate really comes down more to, in my opinion, why is Fauci going off and saying that Senator Rand Paul is saying that Fauci created the coronavirus. Rand Paul has not said that. What Fauci's trying to do is say, because we didn't create the coronavirus directly and you can't prove it, that's proof that we didn't commit gain-of-function research. Rand Paul is saying, wait a minute, I'm not saying you did or did not create the coronavirus at this point. What I'm saying is that you have created gain-of-function research because you've created this new transmittable virus in your lab. Forget corona, forget COVID for a minute. You've committed gain-of-function research. Well, the battle rages between the two, but it's getting hotter because Rand Paul obviously is pushing for Anthony Fauci to resign now and literally saying so in congressional hearings about these topics. And I find that very, very compelling because when you look at it, you go, Rand Paul's saying, hey, you're trying to cover your A. Fauci going, no, I'm not. Rand Paul's like, hey, you have funded gain-of-function research. Well, it comes down to definition. And Rand even says, hey, you know what? You guys have taken the definition off of the website for the National Institutes of Health, the NIH, and you replaced it with a new definition. And Fauci doesn't really dispute him on that. He merely points to, hey, this definition is widely accepted by everybody now. We're updating our science. There's, you know. So there you have it. We can't even agree on the definition of gain-of-function research. Therefore, hey, Anthony Fauci can claim over and over and over that he didn't commit it. As long as you have a definition that divorces us from the discussion, from reality, then, of course, he didn't create gain-of-function research, right? If you, on the other hand, accept Rand Paul's definition, which is the definition the NIH used to have, then clearly gain-of-function research was committed. The fact that it may or may not be related to the coronavirus being created and or released is another topic. But it's interesting how Fauci wants them to be one and the same as he tries to deceive the people on gain-of-function research. What Fauci's afraid of is that once you establish gain-of-function research proof, then you say, okay, well, where have we gone from there? And it's the next steps that'll get Fauci in big trouble. And Fauci doesn't want to even get to those steps. He's been trained or guided or whatever by others to make sure that he knows not to go there. When we come back, though, we're going to play the other segment that I think relates to this big time, directly related to the battle between Rand Paul and Anthony Fauci. We'll do it in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on the road and on your radio. We're talking about Anthony Fauci and Rand Paul having a big old meltdown battle in the Senate chambers, if you will. Rand Paul basically saying you created gain-of-function research. Fauci playing games with words. Here's the rest of the discussion.
Dr. Fauci, I don't expect you today to admit that you approved of NIH funding for gain-of-function research in Wuhan. But your repeated denials have worn thin, and a majority of Americans, frankly, don't believe you. Even the NIH now admits that EcoHealth Alliance did perform experiments in Wuhan that created viruses not found in nature that actually did gain in lethality. The facts are clear. The NIH did fund gain-of-function research in Wuhan, despite your protestations. You can deny it all you want, but even the Chinese authors of the paper, in their paper, admit that viruses not found in nature were created, and yes, they gained in infectivity. Your persistent denials, though, are not simply a stain on your reputation, but are a clear and present danger to the country and to the world. As Professor Kevin Esfeldt of MIT has written, gain-of-function research looks like a gamble that civilization can't afford to risk. And yet here we are again, with you steadfast in your denials. Why does it matter? Because gain-of-function research with laboratory-created viruses not found in nature could cause a pandemic even worse the next time. We're suffering today from one that has a mortality of approximately 1%. They're experimenting with viruses that have mortalities of between 15 and 50%. Yes, our civilization could be at risk from one of these viruses. Experiments that combine unknown viruses with known pandemic-causing viruses are incredibly risky. Experiments that combine unknown viruses with coronaviruses that have as much as 50% mortality could endanger civilization as we know it. And here you sit, unwilling to accept any responsibility for the current pandemic and unwilling to take any steps to prevent gain-of-function research from possibly unleashing an even more deadly virus. You mislead the public by saying that the published viruses could not be COVID. Well, exactly no one is alleging that. No one is alleging that the published viruses by the Chinese are COVID. What we are saying is that this was risky type of research, gain-of-function research. It was risky to share this with the Chinese, and that COVID may have been created from a not-yet-revealed virus. We don't anticipate the Chinese are going to reveal the virus if it came from their lab. You know that, but you continue to mislead. You continue to support NIH money going to Wuhan. You continue to say you trust the Chinese scientist. You appear to have learned nothing from this pandemic. Will you today finally take some responsibility for funding gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator, with all due respect, I disagree with so many of the things that you've said. First of all, gain-of-function is a very nebulous term. We have spent, not us, but outside bodies, a considerable amount of effort to give a more precise definition to the type of research that is of concern that might lead to a dangerous situation. You are aware of that. That is called P3CO.
We're aware that you deleted gain of function from the NIH website.
Well, I can get back to that in a moment if we have time. But let's get back to the operating framework and guide rails of which we operate under. And you have ignored them. The guidelines are very, very clear that you have to be dealing with a pathogen that clearly is shown and very likely to be highly transmissible in an uncontrollable way in humans and to have a high degree of morbidity and mortality, and that you do experiments to enhance that. Hence the word EPPP, enhanced pathogens of potential.
So when EcoHealth Alliance took the virus, SHC-014, and combined it with WIV-1 and caused a recombinant virus that doesn't exist in nature, and it made mice sicker, mice that had humanized cells, you're saying that that's not gain-of-function research?
According to the framework and guidelines.
So what you're doing is defining away gain of function. No. You're simply saying it doesn't exist because you changed the definition on the NIH website. This is terrible, and you're completely trying to escape the idea that we should do something about trying to prevent a pandemic from leaking from a lab. There's the preponderance of evidence now points towards this coming from the lab, and what you've done is changed the definition on your website to try to cover your ass, basically. That's what you've done. You've changed the website to try to have a new definition that doesn't include the risky research that's going on. Until you admit that it's risky, we're not going to get anywhere. You have to admit that this research was risky. The NIH has now rebuked them. Your own agency has rebuked them. But the thing is you're still unwilling to admit that they gained in function when they say they became sicker. They gained in lethality. It's a new virus. That's not gain of function.
According to the definition that is currently operable, you know, Senator, let's make it clear for the people who are listening. The current definition was done over a 2 to 3 year period by outside bodies, including the NSABB, two conferences by the National Academy of Science, Engineering, and Medicine on December 2014, March 2016. We commissioned external risk-benefit assessment, and then on January of 2017, the Office of Science and Technology Policy of the White House issued the current policy.
And coincidentally, the definition appeared on the same day the NIH said that, yes, there was a gain of function in Wuhan. The same day the definition appeared, the new definition, to try to define away what's going on in Wuhan. Until you accept it, until you accept responsibility, we're not going to get anywhere close to trying to prevent another lab leak of this dangerous sort of experiment. You won't admit that it's dangerous, and for that lack of judgment, I think it's time that you resign.
Thank you, Senator Paulin. I would like to give the time to Dr. Fauci.
Yeah, well, there were so many things that are egregious misrepresentation here, Madam Chair, that I don't think I'd be able to refute all of them, but just a couple of them for the listeners to hear for. You have said that I am unwilling to take any responsibility for the current pandemic. I have no responsibility for the current pandemic. The current pandemic, okay? Number two, you said the overwhelming amount of evidence indicates that's a lab leak. I believe most card-carrying viral phylogenists and molecular virologists would disagree with you that is much more likely, even though we leave open all possibilities, it's much more likely that this was a natural occurrence. Third, you say
we tested 80,000 animals and no animals Senator have been Paul, found with COVID.
Senator Paul, the time is for...
And third, you made a statement just a moment ago that's completely incorrect, where you say we continue to support research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
You approved it in August of last year.
No, no, your statement says, quote, I wrote it down as you were writing, you continue to support research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
You were in committee a month ago and said you still trust the Chinese scientists and you still support the research over there. You said it a month ago in committee.
Senator Paul, I have allowed Dr. Fauci to respond. You've had your time. I'm going to give him
one more minute. He's going to be dishonest. He ought to be challenged.
Senator Paul, we will allow Dr. Fauci to respond after you've given accusations like that. Dr. Fauci.
Well, I don't have any more to say except to say that, as usual, and I have a great deal of respect for this body of the Senate, and it makes me very uncomfortable to have to say something, but he is egregiously incorrect in what he says. Thank you.
Thank History you. Will figure that out on its own.
We will turn to Senator Hassan. Thank you.
There you have it. There you have it, my fellow Americans. The debate rages on. But what I find fascinating about the debate is Anthony Fauci literally, in my view, ignoring the truth. And that's really what the American people have to kind of decide. Is Fauci telling the truth, or is Rand Paul telling you the truth? And that, for example, is the debate. But it's, as Rand Paul wisely points out, it's for history to decide. It's for we the people to decide. Fauci claims, hey, this definition's changed, yes. He's admitting it's changed. But he's saying, hey, it's been changed for quite a while now. It took us 3 years to make the change. Rand Paul's saying, look, this isn't a nebulous term. The fact is, in labs, you made viruses that are lethal, that make mice sicker, that did not exist before your lab created them. And I call that gain-of-function research. Fauci's saying we don't call that gain-of-function research, but yes, it did happen. Now the debate becomes, Fauci's saying, you're suggesting that we created corona and that we're guilty of killing people. Rand Paul's saying, I said no such thing, that isn't accurate. Well, there you have the debate, ladies and gentlemen. Did Fauci fund and create gain-of-function research? And did they achieve it? Do you believe Rand Paul? Or do you believe Fauci that no, the definition's changed, so therefore, based on the quote nebulous definition, I didn't, that it doesn't qualify? What do you believe, my fellow Americans? That's the question for you. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
As the Omicron variant of COVID-19 was announced out of South Africa on Friday, many leaders around the world are considering lockdown modes again. A one-size-fits-all response to something that affects all people differently. NIH doctor Francis Collins on CNN says we don't know the science behind Omicron in just 3 days.
How severe would it be? We have no data so far to suggest that it would be. There's even a bit of a report from South Africa that maybe people with this are milder than the usual case.
Dr. Anthony Fauci on CBS News says he is science and knows best for all Americans.
So if they get up and criticize science, nobody's going to know what they're talking about. But if they get up and really aim their bullets at Tony Fauci, well, people could recognize there's a person there. So it's easy to criticize, but they're really criticizing science because I represent science.
We are USA Radio News.
Right now, we are being joined by Emily Dalton-Smith, who happens to be the head of social impact with Meta, and she is joining us to share with us how we can get involved in Giving Tuesday. Emily, take it away.
As another pandemic year begins to wind down, we want to focus on the goodness we see across our platforms. The power of social connection is changing how people give back to their communities, and I'm really excited to see how people will get involved this Giving Tuesday. I'm also proud Meta is supporting what's important to our community by matching up to $8 million in donations made to nonprofits. Whether you're supporting a Black-owned business through Buy Black Friday, donating to a stranger's fundraiser about a cause you love, or doing something completely different, I really hope people will consider giving. It can make all the difference in the world for someone and can be pretty impactful for the giver, too.
And Emily, where can we go for more information?
You can check out all the details on how Meta is encouraging giving back this holiday season by visiting fb.me/givingseason2021.
The very expensive partisan social spending bill President Biden refers to as Build Back Better has zero Republican support because they say it's not good for America.
Federal lawmakers back on Capitol Hill this week, and they'll immediately be tackling the Build Back Better bill that President Biden's been pushing. Senator Amy Klobuchar, the Democrat from Minnesota, says there's been a lot of talk that Joe Manchin, the U.S. Senator from West Virginia, who often sides with Republicans, is going to help see to it that this bill doesn't pass. Klobuchar saying on ABC's This Week,
as Senator Manchin is still at the negotiating table, talking to us every day, talking to us about voting rights, he is talking to us about this bill. And the first part is the defense bill and a bridge to the budget. Vast majority of senators support that. We'll get that done.
With Manchin's vote so critical to Democrats, Republicans are hoping he will torpedo the bill. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
With you live, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman on the road, Sam Bushman on your radio, talking about Rand Paul really having a battle with Fauci on the Senate floor. Fauci claiming, hey, new definition, I didn't create gain-of-function research. Rand Paul says, you know what, by all logical definitions, you certainly did. You could play games and change the definition if you want to. You can play games and claim it's not true, but it is. You, my fellow Americans, need to hear the exchange and decide who you believe. I personally believe Rand Paul is spot on, and Fauci's a squirrely snake, a weasel, trying to avoid this. Bottom line, Anthony Fauci should resign, Rand Paul says, and I completely concur with that view. Rand Paul speaking out about this even further in all kinds of news organizations now. There was an interview last Thursday with Rand Paul in the Daily Signal. And the headline of this article basically says, Rand Paul, quote, militants pushing CRT, critical race theory, and gender ideology want to hold your kid down and give them a vaccination shot without your permission. Daily Signal. Health officials, by the way, have not completely explored the safety of COVID-19 vaccines for children, Senator Rand Paul explains. And he warned calling for more examinations into the risks that the vaccines may pose to young children. These are the same people that want to teach critical race theory, the Kentucky senator explained in an interview on Thursday with the Daily Signal. They're the same people that want to teach your children at a kindergarten age, if they're a boy and they want to become a girl, no problem. This is the craziness being foisted upon our children in school. But it's also the same crazy people that want to force your kid to receive a vaccination shot. We need to fight back against these people, says Dr. Rand Paul. The Food and Drug Administration's October 29th emergency use authorization of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccination for children has sparked concerns that, hey, they're pushing for this authorization to mandate vaccinations for children. The concerns are not unfounded, ladies and gentlemen. On October 1st, California became the first state in the nation to create a vaccination mandate for children attending in-person schooling. Now understand that, you know what? About 10%+ of the nation lives in California. This is huge. And in early November, Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, introduced a bill at prohibiting all entities that receive federal funding, including school districts, preventing them from receiving or enforcing COVID-19 vaccinations for children. I don't think that we have completely explored the safety for children, Rand Paul told the Daily Signal. Number one, you don't know if your children's already had COVID or not, and if it's safe after they've already had COVID to take the vaccines. You say, how could that be? The CDC voted on it. Didn't they do a study? Didn't they look at several thousand children? Paul asked as he mocked the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Yeah, they looked at a couple of thousand. But they say that children who have already had the disease or who have already had COVID-19, they're no good for the study because they've already had the disease. They understand natural immunity. They just feign as if they don't understand natural immunity. But by excluding kids that have already had COVID-19, we don't know if the side effects are more common in people who have already had the disease. Because here's the idea. If you've already had COVID and then you take the vaccine on top of it, you get 1,000 times the response. The immune response of a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old potentially could be so exuberant that it could lead to inflammatory conditions such as an inflamed heart, Dr. Rand Paul explains. God forbid, he claims, your healthy kid who is not really at risk much for COVID-19 might be at much greater risk for your children. Fauci's approach says, put your head in the sand, don't question me, I'm the God scientist on this, and ignore all the riffraff. Rand Paul saying, we don't have the evidence we need to determine safe delivery and safe, effective delivery of the vaccine. Paul's reference was to Dr. Anthony Fauci's. He basically called out publicly several times. They've sparred about this debate. Paul predicted that public schools will forbid entry for school children who were not vaccinated. Now think about that for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Fortunately, I survived all this, the Kentucky Republican said about this regarding his three children. He says, I've already had my children grow up. But the Biden administration's vaccine mandate for private employers have been stayed in court. We hope the courts will call it unconstitutional. But you know what? We had vaccines in schools, and we've had them for a long time. And we don't really see that the courts will help us much with that. That's what is being said now. I find that interesting as Rand Paul predicts that public schools will mandate vaccinations. What do you think of that, folks? Where are we going to go with that? That's really the, in my opinion, the epic question to be had right now is, what does that all mean? Paul predicted that public schools will forbid entry for students who are not vaccinated. Does that scare the heck out of you folks? What will parents do then? Will they still keep their kids in the government schools? Or what do you think will happen? Any idea? any expectations? See, I don't think health officials have properly assessed the safetiness of vaccines for not only children, but for parents too. And the senator also addressed Anthony Fauci's suggestion. Okay, where Fauci basically says, hey, those Trump people believe they can make whatever decision they want to. It's a misinformed viewpoint. Fauci's comments are basically saying, hey, if government wants to mandate vaccines, they can. The safety of the people trump your rights, says Fauci. Well, Fauci's comments, in my opinion, and according to Rand Paul, reflect a casual disregard for what this country was founded upon. Paul told the Daily Signal that rights come from our Creator, that they're guaranteed and enshrined in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. But Paul said of Fauci, he just wants you to listen to his authority. He has the authority. He wants people to listen. But I think that's authoritarianism. I reject it, said Rand Paul. I think he's right as rain on this. This is kind of the stuff we're talking about. It's like, where do we go from here? And Rand Paul's predicting that they are going to force vaccines for government schools. They just will. And so there you have it. Now, Americans are now being warned. Prepare for vaccine mandate to board a plane. Democrats and health overlords are tyrants, and they crave power, writes Joe Kovacs in his latest WND.com article. So what do you think of that? Are they going to require vaccinations on a plane? And if so, how quick? Prepare for vaccine mandates to board a plane. These people are tyrants. I agree with that big time. All right? We got to really be careful about this. This is serious. But Anthony Fauci is battling with the American people on it. Now, let's play, let's get this Fauci one soundbite and see if we can play this really quick before the break, Cameron. Fauci is being interviewed by these newsmakers. and so they ask him questions about where we go with this thing. Here's soundbite one. It's a very short clip from Fauci, but here it is.
Should we have a vaccine mandate for domestic travel, air travel?
You know, Chuck, I'm not going to make any pronouncements about what we should have about vaccine mandates for travel. We know that we evaluate these things literally in real time all the time. You know, everything is discussed and everything is on the table, right?
Everything is on the table, right? I don't want to speak to whether we're going to have these lockdowns for travel, but everything's on the table, right? That's Fauci's comments, ladies and gentlemen, to this discussion. Does that make you feel comfortable? It doesn't make me feel comfortable at all, especially when Fauci won't even admit, even though others have admitted the gain-of-function research has taken place, Fauci still won't admit it. Americans are warned to prepare for vaccine mandates before you board a plane. Wow. When we get back, we'll play the other soundbite from Anthony Fauci. We'll get to what it means, and we'll get to what's happening in the country regarding coronavirus and a whole lot more. Final segment in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think they're fixing to go for broke on this thing, ladies and gentlemen. Anthony Fauci pushing vaccinations like nobody's business. So when they asked, hey, are you going to have a vaccine passport or vaccine proof to go on a plane? Fauci said, I don't want to really talk about, you know, what the travel is, but I'm going to tell you that everything is on the table. That's a scary statement, to say the least. But nevertheless, it gets worse. Here's Fauci one more time. This will be clip two, Anthony Fauci two. Where do we go with this? And here's what Fauci says. Listen carefully.
Should we expect to be seeing more lockdowns again, new lockdowns, more mandates?
You know, I don't know, George. It's really too early to say. We just really need to, as I've said so often, prepare for the worst.
Wow. Prepare for the worst. Everything is on the table. Is that what it is? Prepare for the worst. Everything is on the table. Now, it's interesting how tyrannical we're getting with this. So government schools, according to Rand Paul, Rand Paul's predicting that, hey, the government schools are going to require vaccinations. The airlines considering forcing vaccination proof to even fly on a plane. Big companies literally ignoring the courts and saying, we don't care if you're saying no vaccines. We're going to do vaccines anyway, right? Well, it gets worse because a big guy got fired. So I don't know if you know, but Cumulus Radio, those are the people that used to syndicate Rush Limbaugh. Cumulus Radio signed Fox News host and popular podcaster Dan Bongino to host the show that it was over, on over 300 markets in Rush Limbaugh's old time slot, right? So Dan Bongino was the guy that was taken over. But Bongino, a former NYPD police officer and Secret Service agent, became a media sensation for his blunt talk in defense of Donald Trump. But Bongino's show vanished from the airwaves, ladies and gentlemen, after he refused to go along. As long as the corporate company, Cumulus, forced people to take the vaccines, in other words, hey, I won't work with the company, says Dan Bongino, if they force their unethical and immoral vaccine mandate, tyrannical and unethical vaccine mandate. He said, I won't work with a company like that. Okay? In the final episode posted online, Bongino told listeners that, you know what? That the standoff with Cumulus has reached a stalemate, a breaking point, because Cumulus will not budge on their authoritarian vaccine mandate. Bongino explained that Americans own autonomy over their own bodies and that Bongino saw vaccine mandates as a red line he refused to cross. They didn't consult with us, content providers. I strongly object to the mandate. Behind the scenes, it's getting a little ugly. You don't treat people this way. You don't let people go because they claim their body is their own, Benzino explains. Now, it's a big battle. But again, I submit to you that it's a big battle that we're not willing to stand up enough for as society, because they're continuing their shenanigans, right? Why on earth would we allow this to continue? Well, Americans are in fear. But hey, if you're going to have a vaccine on a plane, if they're literally in school trying to force your kid to have a shot, Cumulus radio host gets fired when the guy that replaced Rush Limbaugh literally gets jettisoned because he won't go along with their tyrannical agenda. Wow, they take him flat out off the airwaves. What do you think of that, folks? Well, Florida is now tied with Hawaii for the lowest daily COVID-19 positives, or cases, if you will. They're tied with Hawaii for the lowest number. I think that's great news. Now, it's kind of been said, as they beat up on and are dishonest about Ron DeSantis, they claim, well, Ron just wants to kill everybody. That's why he doesn't have these vaccine mandates in place. But now we're finding out today, Florida is now tied with Hawaii for the lowest rate of anybody. How does that stack up to all you forced vaccinated states, to all you forced mask-wearing states, to all you states who are creating tyrannies and shutting your people down and businesses down everywhere all the time, right? A new study comes out. There's more and more evidence that proves this. We've known it for a long time, but evidence continues to mount as they continue to push for lockdowns. But headline says, naturally immune people at little risk of reinfection from the severe disease known as COVID-19. The study was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and it was funded by, I don't know, Sintra Medicine, Hammond Medical Corp, Qatar, and Qatar's Ministry of Public Health. Anyway, very, very strange. As I look at this, I go, wow, very strange stuff in the news about COVID. But I'm telling you right now, it's getting worse. They're going to force us all to take vaccines, I think, folks. I don't know that we're going to be able to get out of it. You want to know why? Because we're an immoral people, and we're being punished. And I don't think that there's enough people to stand against it. I really don't. Most people are just putting up their hands and going, it's too controversial. It's not for me. I don't get into that. Others are like, hey, we got to take the vaccine. They've found some core issues, the debate between male and female, and the debate over vaccines and masks. And they're going to divide us till they win. And Americans don't see it and or are not willing to stand up. But literally, natural immunity is key. It prevents severe disease. So there you have it, striking at the very heart of the family in every case. Now, headline says deep state agencies like the FBI, CIA, and the NSA have a major Achilles heel that they're deftly afraid of, and that is the age-old whistleblower. Rand Paul's doubling down and highlighting this reality of how scared they are. And people are starting to realize that, you know what? Deep state agencies like the FBI in these days, they're out of control. You take Edward Snowden, you take Julian Assange, you take these other whistleblowers, and how much would we know about the tyrannical acts of government had these guys not blown the whistle? They blew the whistle. They've done a tremendous job in doing so, and we've got to commend them, but man, they're in trouble. Well, Rand Paul is saying we need more whistleblowers. I agree with Dr. Paul on this, but we especially need whistleblowers when it comes to the vaccines. About how many people are dying from vaccines, about the side effects that the hospitals and medical personnel know regarding these. The VAERS database has lots of adverse reactions in it, well over 800,000 to date, well over 20,000 people dead just in the United States because of the COVID vaccines. But if we had whistleblowers to really highlight this, that would be tremendous because, as we are told, the VAERS only relates to about 1% of the real issue. Well, whistleblowers could make up that gap and highlight the truth. There's been a few whistleblowers, but not enough. The mainstream press can kind of just shut us down and ignore us and not really talk about it much. That's what they've been doing, right? It's going to take more Americans, folks. You can't have just, you know, a couple of guys in the media like me speaking out about it and nobody else talking about it. You've got to create a groundswell. You've got to create enough educated foot soldiers that understand and that are willing to get engaged in the fight. If you don't have that, we're nowhere, right? So anyway, I commend Dan Bongino for standing up. Maybe he wants to come over to Liberty News Radio from Cumulus, huh? Somebody call him and give him the word that we'll go ahead and, you know, launch his show for him if he wants to. Very interesting how the big companies are just at battle with the very people. You thought Cumulus was kind of a conservative group, didn't you? Oh, no, they're forcing the vaccine to the point where Dan had just literally part ways over it, right? But I'm glad Florida has got low vaccination retransmission rates. That's great news, right? In other words, you got vaccinated people transmitting this virus all over the place. Well, there's a lot less people in Florida vaccinated, and there's a lot less people that are willing to wear masks, etc. And as a result, you see less, not more. And how about the naturally immune people? How many naturally immune people to the coronavirus do you think we have in America today? How come they never give you that statistic? They give you how many are vaxxed. Oh, 70% of the American people have at least had one dose of the vaccine, et cetera, et cetera. How many people are naturally immune already? How many people have got the coronavirus, did not take the vaccine, and are safe and effective? Or how many people really were naturally immune but did get the vaccine, who may not have needed to? That's another really important question, right? All right, anyway, naturally immune people at little risk of reinfection, new studies say. Every time I turn around, there's a new study documenting this reality, and I think it's wonderful news. Wonderful for us to get the truth, but it's very hard to get. It's very hard to gain the truth, isn't it? All right, well, there you have it. I hope we have whistleblowers, specifically whistleblowers that will deal with this vaccination cover-up, about how many people are dying from the vaccines, about if they're instructed not to report when people have adverse reactions and or death from the vaccinations. I'd really like whistleblowers to stand up and put a perspective on this for us that we can really carry forward. That would be important. All right, there's a big university discussion going on that I want to finish the hour telling you about. It's a big university discussion warning that Thanksgiving is nothing but a celebration of genocide, and participants are now proposing monetary reparations over this. It was activist Dakota Nicole and counselor Jorney Baldwin who led the talks about this, and I find that very interesting. But you get universities literally promoting that Thanksgiving is racist, it's evil. Campus Reform explained that the bulk of the event was spent in an open platform where attendees had the opportunity to share their thoughts about three primary social points relating to this. You ready for them? What might it look like to decolonize our understanding of this holiday and the culture surrounding it? Wow. What can we do this Thanksgiving to begin to reconcile relationships damaged by colonization, both human to human and human to earth? I didn't know you had a human to earth relationship, did you? How can we do this in such a way that will encourage folks to partner rather than ostracize by speaking truth to power? How does inviting a diverse perspective play into this, they ask? Anyway, in my opinion, you got these university professors that are just crazy. They're literally wanting you to believe that Thanksgiving is a celebration of genocide and destruction, and that we need monetary reparations for all those who suffer because you and I celebrate Thanksgiving. You see how unhinged these people have really become? It is shocking. All right, hour two in the can now. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic!